Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game coming up. Michael Rothstein's going to join us coming up a little bit later on this hour. We'll talk to him about his thoughts about where we're going to potentially go in this draft. The Dolphins, by the way, Chris Greer, their general manager, says they are going to pick up the fifth-year option for Jalen Waddle and pass rusher Jalen Phillips prior to the deadline. I think those are smart plays. The question for me, Mike, is how much you pay Tua. That's the real question.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're feeling about the market being reset, you know, it's just kind of – you know, that's going to be a lot of loot for a team, which, you know, we always talk about that window, why we were so pining that Ritter could have actually gotten traction here and are going to save us some money for a while. Remember, they couldn't hold on to Christian Wilkins, the former Clemson D lineman. They had to move on. They didn't have cap space.
Yeah.
And some would say Waddle and, you know, Tyreek Hill are a luxury item. But, you know, like, look at what the Chargers just had to go through.
Well, you have one, right? Everybody would love to have three superstar wide receivers, but, you know, you paid the Cheetah's the highest paid guy at his position, and rightfully so. That's fine. But to pick up Waddle's fifth-year option is one thing. Are you going to pay him, and is he going to get his bag after that?
That's the question, because, you know, the argument has always been at least one superstar receiver, not two.
That's right.
You know, you can't pay for it. That's what became, you know, for the few years we had some salary that worked with Roddy and Julio was freaking great, and Harry at the time, too, remember?
That's true. Yeah, the Cowboys are in a very similar position because Jerry Jones is talking about they're holding money back to keep their stars, which is kind of weird. It's like, what, do you have a secret compartment somewhere? I mean, like.
Well, again, you got nothing. And I don't know what – see, it's Dak's agent's job to get him max value.
Yes.
But Dak is – and then Dak had an MVP-caliber season last year, but the postseason is his kryptonite.
All right, so let me ask you. How good is he?
On a scale of 1 to 10, he's an 8.5. Okay. He's a franchise quarterback, but – and I don't know how much you would put on his shoulders. There's been some real clunkers in the playoffs.
There has. Last three years, specifically.
Right. And that's where – and there were some big games over the course of last year. You see, there's just some games where he just doesn't look elite.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what I'd say. And the same thing could be said at times for Matt Ryan in the beginning of his career, that eventually he did get over that hump with the playoff wins. You know, same thing's being said about a lot of quarterbacks around the league. Lamar Jackson has had to deal with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's what I think about Dak, just specifically, because Cowboys lost Tyron Smith. They lost their center. They lost Pollard, their running back. They've lost a lot. They necessarily haven't added, and your quarterback wants more money. Now, I'm not saying he's not deserving, but, Mike, you talk about picking and choosing who you're paying. If you feel that way, if you're telling me that he's an 8.5, if I'm giving you $60 million, if I'm giving you $55-60 million,
right,
you got to be a 9.5. You got to be a 10.
I know.
You can't be an 8. And the thing about Dak is I think it's more about surrounding him with guys than it is about his natural ability. See, Patrick Mahomes, different deal. We've seen it. Doesn't matter who's he playing with, who's playing with him, who's around him. Cheetah leaves, they still win. They lose one of their star cornerbacks, they still win. Somebody goes down, it doesn't matter because, Mike, he has that ability to elevate guys. I've just not seen that with Dak Prescott.
The Deshaun Watson cap hit right now amongst 2024 salaries is the most in the NFL.
Okay.
He's at 63.7. Now, I'm not talking salary. This is just the cap hit. And I know it gets a little off in the weeds. But Dak Prescott is $55.4 million for the Cowboys.
It's a lot of dough.
That's this year's cap hit.
Yeah, and if they ride with it, by the way, and don't say, hey, try to do something moving forward, which would reduce the cap number, obviously, which is why they want to do it, you're risking a lot this season. It is all in, but if you don't do it, Mike, it also means you can walk away at the end of the year.
See, that's the thing. It's you've got a ceiling with Dak, it feels like, but isn't, you know, Mike McCarthy, regular season, he got the most out of Dak than any Cowboys coach, certainly more than Garrett ever got out of, right? We all agree.
He did.
But at the playoffs, it's just they just fall apart, you know? And this is one, they're always going to be measured by the playoffs. And the Cowboys, for all the things they've gotten, the resources, you still have a cap in the NFL. There's no way to get around it. And they are just jammed up right now.
They are. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station, guys, at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that is going on. We're going to hear more from Raheem Morris as well, coming up here in just a second, as he talks about Kirk Cousins being the right fit for the current pieces that this team has. They wanted to go out and get a veteran. Raheem was addressing this. And by the way, Steve Weiss is going to join us tomorrow, Mike. So he was on with Steve Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Wickedy Wickedy Weiss is going to join us tomorrow here on the show. We'll talk to him about his conversation with Raheem and much more, because everybody's speculating about where the Falcons are going to go. Hey, Big O, let's get to our NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Speaking of Raw, he had to answer the question about why Cousins, because a lot of you are still in your bag about, well, why not the other guy? Of course, that would have been Justin Fields, who's now in Pittsburgh. And, Mike, maybe he ultimately ends up being the starter there. We don't know how that's all going to shake out, but Mike Tomlin has said he is going to at least start the season or start the camp with Russell Wilson. Here's Raheem Morris talking about why Cousins is the right fit right now.
You know, the excitement of bringing in Kurt, it comes along with a lot of pressure, particularly on Kurt and myself. But it's only pressure if you don't have the pieces around him. And I just felt like just getting the job day one with Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, being able to add, you know, all these different players that we added throughout the offseason really fired me up to be able to get those guys in there to be around him. He's a leader of men. I couldn't think of a better scenario for the Atlanta Falcons and Raheem Morris, to be honest.
How much pressure is on Raheem and the fact that he made this decision to go with Cousins?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's still the best quarterback that's available. I know some guys who don't want Cousins are hung up on the the Achilles. By the way, his cap hit is like not even the top 10. It's $25 million this year.
They structured that thing the right
correct.
Way.
Correct.
Yeah.
Somebody tell Shannon Sharp and Cam Newton that on the podcast. but as far as, you know.
But yeah, I'm bitter.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit. As much.
Come on, Cam. Let it go.
It's egregious.
That's egregious.
Let it go, Cam.
Revel in everyone's success. Let's all be happy. People are making money. Just not you right now in the NFL. I apologize, pal.
I'm bitter.
I hate to see your career cut short. You know?
At least he owned it, though. He did own it. I'm bitter. Yeah. I'm mad. P.O.'d.
But, you know, yes, we have Dr. DeSantis. Some people say I'm bitter.
Yes.
Yes, well, yeah, you are. But this one is on Raheem.
Because not the full sound bite.
You cannot get to the draft picks that you wanted. And then there's going to be that you hope you get C.J. Stroud, but it's going to be 50-50. You may just crap out, and then we're right back to square one. We're going to roll the dice. We've got a three-year window to win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. That's as simple as it gets. And if we haven't won playoff games, then Raheem Morris won't be here.
I don't want to spend the whole time on the Cowboys, but CeeDee Lamb, Mike, not expected at voluntary workouts, entering the final year of his rookie deal.
What part of voluntary don't you get, Jerry Jones?
He's earning $17.9 million for his fifth-year option. He wants a long-term deal, so he is not there. But he's been a regular attendee in the past. Bother you at all, or is this just another issue they're going to have to deal with?
I just feel the Cowboys have got – we just touched on the money. They got no loot, and the team is good enough to get to the playoffs but not good enough to get through. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see, can they find impact players in this draft?
Good luck.
You know, it's just a strange time for the Cowboys, man. You just feel like they're – like we talk about how Buffalo's window is closed. You're always going to have a shot with a great quarterback like Josh Allen, and you should have a shot with a quarterback like Dak, but you just have a feeling the Cowboys have missed this last 3 years of playoffs, right?
And I agree with you. Speaking of quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson said he's back to throwing at full speed. He, again, is working his way back from last year's season-ending right shoulder injury. Look, this is no secret for Deshaun and his folks. He's got to show up this year. I mean, you've been getting paid for the last 3 years, and the Browns went to bat for you and basically covered your butt when they said, hey, we know you got these trials going on and all this stuff off the field. Cool, we'll structure the contract, and so this way it will help you, it will help us. Deshaun Watson's got to ball out this year.
Right. It's going down the road of being the worst trade in the history of the NFL, and it might be that, as we always, you know, reference it, unless Cleveland can get to a Super Bowl, it's going to be so one-sided. Now they did get to the playoffs last year, albeit with Flacco. That's the other thing. The team is good enough to get in the playoffs, but you're missing the guy who's supposed to be the difference maker, who's like that X factor that Deshaun was those first 2 years, and it's hard to remember those first 2 years in Houston. Meanwhile, speaking of Cleveland, this will take pressure off of him. Nick Chubb, according to Kevin Stefanski, working hard attacking his rehab.
That's great.
That's almost like getting a free agent, Nick Chubb back.
By the way, he was on his way to leading the league in rushing. I mean, he was crushing it for the Browns when that injury happened. So we love Nick Chubb. We hope he gets back healthy. And listen, I'm wishing the best for Deshaun Watson. The point is, though, I feel like now, Mike, it's like we're talking about something that you wish is going to happen, and you kind of feel like maybe it won't. Like, when that trade went down, again, we talked about it. Should we have been in the mix? Oh, maybe our owner wanted it more than other people. It didn't go that way, and now, being a local kid, he's from Gainesville, you go, all right, I hope Deshaun, you're past all the stuff that happened, and you're going to be great. But I don't know. I'm starting to debate whether I'm hoping for something that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. I mean, you can laugh all the way to the bank if you're Deshaun Watson, but you're still the punchline to a joke.
Correct.
You know, so you don't want that to be your legacy as an elite quarterback. Last year, we took Bijan Robinson, and some people say, you don't take running backs that high, but we think he's that special. And then the Detroit Lions move up, and they take Jahmyr Gibbs. Mm. And now a lot of folks are saying there won't be a running back taken in this year's draft next week.
I believe that.
In the first round.
There is nobody that is like specifically Bijan. I told you he was probably the fifth or sixth best player in the draft last year, which is why I thought that was great value where they took him. I don't think there will be a running back taken in the first round. Mike, should we be talking more about Nate Wiggins out of Clemson? He's a DB, 6'1", 173 pounds at the combine. He will get bigger. He will get stronger. But a lot of people are saying he has excellent instincts. We've been talking a lot about these DBs. Has he shown up in your mocks, Nate Wiggins?
Let me tell you, Nate Wiggins, that's a trade-down guy. Nate Wiggins is a guy you would trade down for. Now, I know that everybody's got their guys, but if you were looking at DBs, that's where you would like maybe trade down for somebody looking for one of those elite wide receivers. But, again, I got him. The Pro Football Focus guys, I know Randy Mack was talking about this off the air. They got him at 24. They got him just ahead of Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Okay.
They got Cooper DeJean, White Boy Rick. That's Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, Terrion Arnold, and then Nate Wiggins. That's PFF guys. I know that Daniel Jeremiah likes him better.
Okay. DeJean is number one, though.
DeJean is number one.
Yeah. On the number one corner.
On Pro Football Nerd.
Mm.
Now, guys who are not as analytics-based, Hare Helmet, McShay, Jeremiah, they don't have DeJean as number one.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's a top three guy. I do. I don't know if he's the number one guy, but I do think he's one of the top three corners. We're coming back. We got plenty more to get to. By the way, Dukes and Bell in this hour brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We're coming back. Yeah, Man, No Man's on the way. And then we're going to talk to Michael Rothstein about the Falcons. We are all draft all the time. 9 days as we count down, guys. It's Dukes and Bell.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, we're going to talk with Michael Rothstein about our Atlanta Falcons. As we count down to the draft, we're trying to narrow, okay, the potential picks and positions of where we might go. Now, listen, if you've been following this, guys, and you guys know, you follow the team, you listen to us, there's really only about three places in this first round that you're going to try to go. The question becomes, what makes the most sense and where do you get the most value for that particular pick? And again, we are under the assumption that we're staying at 8. Mike and I know that this could change not only before the draft, could change the night of the draft. So that is why we're just simply sticking right now with the 8th overall pick. If you start maneuvering and you're trying to think ahead about all the moves that are going to be made, then you will have no idea where we're going to be.
Right. That perception is you're going to go quarterback, 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 and then all the shenanigans may start. You know, again, we're all hyping and we're having some fun. You've seen the mock drafts, Carl, that you're going to see the Cardinals maybe do something funky. Or they just go chalk and they take Marvin Harrison Jr. and you give Kyler Murray the best weapon he's had since Larry Fitzgerald in his prime. Or D-Hop.
Agreed. I mean, I think the first four picks are fairly easy. if everybody sticks to the plan.
Chargers could go, like, it wouldn't be sexy. They go get Alt, then Harbaugh's got the kind of rough and tumble tackle. I know that we spoke about the perception that he's just a guy, you know, and some folks feel that he's not going to be like a rock star, but it'll be a solid piece, maybe along the lines of a Jake Matthews. Some guys feel he is going to be that guy that's a franchise setter, a gold jacket kind of dude.
True. We're going to talk with Michael Rothstein coming up. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Colonel, what's going on, man? Do you like champagne?
Do I like champagne?
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Come you like champagne?
Now. Yeah, why not?
Well, I was drinking Snoop champagne last night.
I saw that. How was that?
It's very good.
Okay.
By the way, the cool thing about this, it's called 19 Crimes, if you guys not familiar with it. And the cool thing about it is, which I was not familiar with, is my wife was saying, on the back of the label of the champagne, it talks about the makings of it and how this is basically for movers and shakers and people who have been innovative and, you know, cultural creators. It's kind of a cool thing. So you scan the barcode on the back of this thing. Snoop speaks to you.
Ha! That's wild.
On the bottle.
Wow.
It's kind of cool and innovative.
That's trippy.
So you scan the barcode, and then you're holding the phone up to the face of Snoop, and then he comes alive, which was absolutely crazy. So it was kind of cool. But I had not tried it, and guys were telling me that they have tried it, and it was really good. It was the white, not the red. Apparently the red, I don't know, some people were saying it wasn't as good, but it was great to celebrate our number one rating.
That's right. Ratings came out, and we said yesterday we appreciate you guys. So you got a nice bottle of champagne. I got Costco tacos last
night. Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that was it. Becky got me tacos.
Yeah, no, tacos are great.
No, but I mean, she could have got, you know, I got champagne.
Tacos are great.
I'm just saying, I mean, she could have gotten some champagne. I told her, you know, that all the you know, number one in bonuses entails, you'd think she'd be excited about that. I guess not. Back to you, Carl. Back to you, Chris.
I just wondered, and if, again, it's Snoop's, he's got a line of stuff out there, right. But I had not
tried
it. You said
19 Crimes, right?
That's what it's called.
They also do a wine.
Correct.
That I've had it before. It's
yes.
Pretty good.
Yes, they do. Martha Stewart, you know, he partnered with her to do all this kind of stuff. But long story short, you know, we usually drink different stuff from a champagne standpoint. First time we've had that because, you know, she was like, we're going to try something different and we're celebrating.
I'm not a big champagne guy, but at the Miami Grand Prix last year, because, you know, the beer lines were just out the yin-yang. So they had, like, the Ferrari champagne, which is no relation to the car manufacturer. It's in northern Italy, but it's really good. So we're sitting there, and, like, we ran to a bunch of guys from Atlanta, and we're all, when's the last time you pounded six bottles of champagne? And you want to talk about the hangover of hangovers.
Oh, yeah.
The sugar, like an axe in your head. But it was kind of funny to be sitting there, like, you know, just popping rosé, watching the race.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. I was curious, man. What's going on? Talk to us.
All right. So a story that we covered a couple of weeks ago has taken a massive turn. Mm. Toronto Raptors center Jonte Porter allegedly owned and operated a VIP account from FanDuel based out of Colorado that wagered millions of dollars in total from 2021 to 2023, multiple sources tell the Action Network. Now, out of those bets, apparently he did not wager on NBA or college basketball. So that's what makes this a little bit more intriguing.
But there was the under. Everybody bet the under on a guy who's not even a starter, and it was more action than anybody got on major name players in the NBA that night,
right,
which is a huge red flag.
That was the original smoking gun. So now they're trying to figure out what exactly is going on here, because you have a fringe NBA player who is alleged to have bet on himself, and then you have him also operating an account that wagered millions of dollars over a two-year span. They're trying to get to the bottom of this. What do you guys think? Yeah, man, no man.
I see his future, Carl. I believe it'll be for Alajja Peskismor Izmir in the Turkish League.
Yeah, I think he's done in the league. And I'm going to say this for everybody who's listening who thinks they can get away with all of this stuff now. You have a digital footprint. I know you don't think you do. But everything you do, and when it comes to stuff like this, if they want to track it down, they can. And unless you're in the dark web, okay, of the internet, and you are breaking in and stealing money from casinos in Las Vegas, you probably have no idea how much information from a tracking standpoint is out there. Now, I don't give a damn because I'm not doing anything illegal, right? I don't care. Track me. I don't care. The point is, though, when you get into this stuff and you're like, I'm doing all this stuff, and you're trying to keep it secret because you think I have an account in Colorado and they'll never figure it out, that's the idiotic part of this, that where you go, dude, you don't think once you get found out they're going to be able to track this information?
Right.
So
I mean, just they get really stuffed yourself on one phone.
It's you know what I mean? Yeah, it's
all that action. They got the entire history.
So from that standpoint, I'm just saying, like, everybody's like, oh, you can get away with it. Okay, good luck with that. Secondly, he's done.
Yeah.
Because the suspicion alone, Turtle, is enough that the NBA cannot associate and have a player in the league who, even whether he did or didn't bet, you and I and Mike right now are thinking he probably did.
Well, I mean, again, it's a relative nobody by NBA standards who's got an incredible amount of action on his under. Like, we're talking like, what, three throws, what were the numbers, like three assists?
It was 4.5 points a game.
Yeah, 4.5. I mean, but meanwhile, people aren't betting as much money on Luka Doncic, you know, or LeBron James.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, it's just this colossal red flag.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I know it's circumstantial, but it's pretty darn damning.
All right, this last story is almost too surreal to believe. Over a decade later, almost a decade and a half, a piece of audio has come out that was only rumored to have existed. And a good job, a tip of the cap to Pablo Torre, formerly of ESPN, who does a podcast called Pablo Torre Finds Out. And he does investigative reporting.
I watched this. This is actually fascinating.
On wacky sports stories going on over the decades. So he decided to fixate on a story dating back to 2010. It was widely believed that LeBron James was going to go to the Knicks. And part of their alluring of him to the Knicks was to present him with a 10-minute video presentation that was supposed to knock his socks off. So what did they do? 3 years after the most popular show ended in America, they decided to reunite a cast for a special video for LeBron James's eyes only that now has reached the internet.
It's very expensive.
Oh, that's not going to be a problem. You got to find something magnificent. Something there's nothing in the world like it, one of a kind, like he is.
Well, here's a place. It says it gets really loud there. Take a look.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's going to be perfect for him.
Allow me to...
And if you guys missed who that might have been, yes, you heard that correctly. That is none other than James Gandolfini reprising his role as Tony Soprano for a LeBron James exclusive
with
video.
With Edie Falco playing his wife Carmella and basically trying to entice LeBron to coming to New York.
That's big, man.
The first part of that video was great, too, because I guess it's a continuation of the story. They're in witness protection, by the way.
So they carried it over.
Right. They carried it over, so they're in witness protection someplace.
Told you he's not dead.
So Tony lives.
But that is bananas. And nobody knew that this existed?
It was only rumor. No one had ever seen it. It was kept behind a vault. Until this Pablo Torre was able to uncover it.
That's impressive.
Pablo, is it Pablo?
Pablo.
He knows some people. I mean, that's crazy. I have never heard that, Mike. Have you ever heard
that? No, and I love stuff that, I mean, I love the kind of the secret sauce of the fact they put the crew together, they filmed it. Only LeBron had it. And now finally you see it. And, you know, teams do this sort of stuff. There was all these sort of things they did for A-Rod to entice him when he was a free, or he wanted to get traded. It's interesting. I mean, kind of cool. And LeBron decided not to.
Yeah, that's bananas. Crazy, and even crazier the fact that they did that for him. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And apparently the end result of this video was him not choosing to go to the Knicks.
No. Well, remember.
They blew it.
But they were a mess at that point.
Right.
Like, now people feel like the front office is finally fixed. Whether you like Tibbs or not, the head coach, and he can grind you. The fact is, it feels like the Knicks are finally headed in the right direction.
Well, you had Dolan was monkeying around. You know, they got one of the worst owners in sports is James Dolan, and he's got this fixation with Isaiah Thomas, who kind of drifts in and out. And remember, they went through all – he's tried a million things with that team. Everybody just – all New Yorkers would just love to see him get out of the sports business in New York, not happening anytime soon.
All right, on that note, we got to run. Oren, I have a feeling I know what's coming up, and I got myself a gun. Hit my music.
Well, maybe not.
Boom.
Well, maybe so. All right, guys, we've got more to get to. Michael Rothstein's going to join us. He is with currently ESPN, but he's got a new gig, man, and we're going to ask him about it. He's been covering the Falcons for the last 3 years, been covering the NFL for 11 or 12 or so, but we're going to get his thoughts on where this draft may be headed.
Ask him who his favorite Sopranos character was. I was like Uncle Junior. I got the FBI eyes. I got the FBI so far up my butt I can taste Bill Cream.
All right, we'll see what Michael's thinking next on Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Did you know you can...
This news just in from our Atlanta Braves. Ozzie Albies is on the 10-day injured list with a right toe fracture.
What?
He got hit last night.
That Arrighetti guy got it right in the front of his foot.
So the Braves today selected the contract of infielder David Fletcher and placed Ozzie on the 10-day IL. That is not news I wanted to hear, especially when I just talked about the lineup and how impactful it is. Now, again, it's not, hopefully, knock wood. This is not going to be anything long-term, but the
it's
Braves—
It's just annoying. You know, yeah. when you hit your toe on the bed or something like a piece of furniture, and that's basically what it sounds like he did.
So this is just out, but the Braves will be without Ozzie at least for the next 10.
He did go down for a set when he got hit with the toe and he kind of leaned over home plate. He was down there for a minute, so definitely, he jacked it up.
All right, more on the Braves coming up. Right now, let's spend some time with Michael Rothstein. And, Michael, before we move forward, we want to say congratulations and thanks to contributing to not only our show, and as I said to you on social media and privately, I'll miss our conversations up there at Flower Branch. Michael is moving on. He will not be covering the Falcons next season. Do you want to even say where you're going or what's going on with your next move?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I put that out publicly. By the way, before we get into that, I just want to let you know I'm staring at like my left second toe. I don't remember what the name for the second toe is.
Right.
And I banged it against my bed like 2 weeks ago and it's still bruised. So, you know, I understand.
Yeah.
I'm headed to our enterprise and investigative unit at ESPN. It's something I'm very, very excited about. I've wanted to do for a long time. I've done some work with them in the past in various stories, and I'm going to be looking at issues across sports. Instead of just focusing on one team and kind of some bigger, broader issues really throughout. So it's something I'm really excited about. And as I said on social media when I announced this today, I'm very grateful for View Atlanta, the fans and the PR staff of the Falcons and the players that I've gotten to know and the coaches that have been really great to me over the last 3 years. And, you know, it's it's always weird. I've moved around a lot in my career, guys. Like a lot. I've lived in California and Virginia and Indiana and Michigan and now Georgia, and I grew up in New York. I've been a bunch of places. You know, each time it's a little bit interesting when you leave. But I've covered the NFL for 11 years, so it's a new challenge and one I'm very, very excited about. Going on too long about it.
Right. All right. So here he goes, like the super secret investigative guy. Now he got a trench coat and everything. He'll be Rossi's gonna be Mike Wallace in People, Carl.
I'm probably staying in Atlanta. I don't know.
Answer the question. Is that Michael Rossi with this guy? So now this becomes our ESPN exit interview from his time covering the Falcons. What do you think we're gonna do then, Mr. Big Shot, with that 8th overall pick?
I mean, listen, you guys are going to hate me for saying this. We still don't know, right? It's all going to depend on how the board falls, right? Do four quarterbacks definitively go? Does it go four quarterbacks, three receivers? Does a receiver potentially fall? Does a quarterback fall? And then that becomes a very interesting trade situation for Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris. Do they try to trade back, if it goes seven offensive players, right? Like, say it goes seven offensive players at the start, they have their pick of defensive players, but that might also be very enticing to say, you know what, you can trade back to 11 to 12 if there's a quarterback or a receiver or someone wants to get, and you know you're going to still get a high, high level defensive player there. So I think a lot of things can happen, but if they're going to make the pick at 8, I imagine it's going to be an edge rusher. I really like Leatu Latu from UCLA. There is familiarity there with Jimmy Lake from their time at Washington. Now, Jimmy Lake was also the coach when Latu had to medically retire, and then he unretired and went to UCLA.
Michael, did you say Latu Latu?
I did.
Okay, just want to make sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't really know what that's about, but sure.
It's a show thing, Michael. It's a show thing.
Carl covets Latu Latu. He despises Dallas Turner.
I feel like he's the better edge rusher.
Well, no, but it also depends on how they're going to use that player, right? Because if they're going to drop that player in coverage a little bit more, well, Dallas Turner had more snaps in coverage last season than either Jared Verse or Leo Tulatu. Now, Leo Tulatu did have two picks last year. He also had two forced fumbles, and he did drop into coverage a little bit. But if you're looking for the best pure edge rusher, then it's probably Latu. But
Latu.
If that happens, you're just going to be so excited, I can tell.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if it's Dallas Turner. This is going to be awkward.
I might have to tune in that Friday afternoon, even though I won't be covering the team anymore, just to hear it.
We hope you do. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our buddy Michael Rothstein. And here's the deal. It's not that I dislike Dallas Turner. I haven't explained this over and over to people because they're like, you hate Alabama.
Why do you hate Alabama?
It's where you pick a guy to try to get the most value, and that is what I'm trying to explain to most of our audience. It's not that I don't think he's going to be a good player. I don't know if he'll be a stud or a star. Is he a difference maker? I don't know. I just feel like with the physical tools, Michael, he should have done a lot more at Alabama than what he did, and that concerns me because guys get to the league, they get a bigger check, and the physical tools there, they try to rely on that. Is he willing to come in and get better? I just have questions.
But part of that too, Dukes, is simple. Is maybe he was being used differently at Alabama than he would be used in Atlanta or wherever else he goes. I remember, and this goes way, way back when I was covering Notre Dame, a long time ago. Harrison Smith was a guy that got moved all around in college. Right, I think he was a second round pick.
Right.
Someone, if I'm wrong, someone correct me on that. But he's still playing. You know, and there were questions. And it was like a linebacker, he was a safety. He got moved all around at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just depends. You got to find the right fit for the right guy. And sometimes the wrong fit ends up really hurting a guy in his career. And then you see him go somewhere else and do well when it's a better fit for him. I covered Kyle Van Noy when he was with the Lions.
Good example.
And I remember the day he got traded.
You're right.
And he gets traded. And guess what? Kyle Van Noy has been in the league for a long time too, when it looked like it maybe wasn't going to work for him. And it depends on the system, especially with, frankly, some defensive players. And that's especially kind of your 3-4 versus 4-3 versus sub package edge rushers and tackles and linebackers. So I would say I wouldn't totally go based off of colleges. I would look at how they're going to use whoever they draft and what their plan is there, because they might use them very different than at Alabama or Florida State or UCLA.
Thank you, Michael. This is the kind of insight and perspective that we're going to miss here on Dukes and Bell as Michael Rothstein joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. One thing we did bring up this week is Raheem Morris and how much input he had into the war room with the Rams. They went and got some big-time impact players in the third round. Could we do likewise if we went corner, for argument's sake, in the first round?
Sure. Are you guys there?
Yeah, I was going to say, if we went corner, could we find some impact edge rush in later rounds, even like the third round, like the Rams did?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, one of the things the Rams have been very good at, because they didn't have a first-round pick until this year in a long, long time, was finding value late. Now, was Raheem Morris part of that? Sure. I mean, everybody is involved, but a lot of that has to do with the scouts. A lot of that has to do with Les Snead and being able to really – pick those guys that make sense for what they are trying to do. And frankly, some of it's luck also. That's the biggest thing about the draft. Some of it is just luck, right? Because you might draft a guy who's phenomenal, but if he keeps getting hurt, well, that's a problem too. And you can't predict that in so many ways, you know? So, I think that, sure, there's a possibility, but just because they brought Raheem Morris over doesn't mean they're automatically going to be very good at drafting in the middle to late rounds. By the way, Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith, when he was the head coach, were quite good at drafting the mid to late rounds of the draft when you look at some of the players that they've gotten. DeMarco Helms played a bunch last year and actually looked like he could be pretty good at safety. Avery Williams, even though he was hurt last year, impact player as a punt returner and as a fifth or sixth round pick, there's a ton of value there that he's, you know, become somebody that can be counted on. So you can find those guys in every kind of draft. And the Falcons have done, I think, a pretty good job on days 2 and 3 so far, frankly. Bergeron being another one, obviously, a day 2 guy. And that was a little bit of a chance because Matt Bergeron, I played, 1-2 snaps a guard? And that was at the Senior Bowl? And he held up pretty well last year. Drew Dahlman's been their starting center. He was a fourth-round pick. Their first year. So they've been good on day two and day three in the past. I wouldn't say just because Raheem Morris is here that they're automatically going to be, because there's so much that goes into it.
Let me give you a scenario Mike and I have been talking about. It's sure. Dukes and Bell. Let's just say we stay where we are, and mm-hmm. when it's our turn, you have Malik Nabers, you have maybe the best offensive tackle still on the board potentially, and then you have one of these edge guys. Which way are you going?
I'm looking for, if I'm Terry Fano at that point, I'm trying to see if there's any interest in trade.
Okay.
But here's the thing, right? They could still use another receiver opposite yes. Drake London. Yes, I know they signed Darnell Mooney. I know they brought in some, you know, they traded for Rondale Moore, but they're going to run a lot of 11 personnel, so a lot of three receivers. So you need guys, and there's not necessarily a clear number two on the roster yet, at least based off of production, because Darnell Mooney hasn't had the best of years the last two seasons. Offensive tackle, you can always use offensive linemen, and, you know, I mean, Jake Matthews is getting a little older. Caleb McGarry's in a second year of a three-year deal. So I can see an argument for any of that, but you also, the one area you have not really addressed in the offseason in free agency or really, you know, very high up at all in the draft, except for Arnold Ebiketie, is edge rusher. And right. So to me, it comes back to that. But that in that scenario, I think you're probably, if you're Terry Fontenot, you're hoping somebody's really interested in a Malik Nabers or a Roma Dunze or a Joe Alt, if Joe Alt's the guy you're talking about. And or, you know, one of the edge guys and wants to make a move up, because if that's the scenario too, maybe some unexpected things have happened in the draft. And again, if you go back to 11 or 12 or 13 or something like that, you're still going to be able to get a quality play.
Michael Rothstein with us, guys, from ESPN, doing a great job covering the Falcons for many years. Real quick, Mike, there were stories, because things get written or blogged about quarterback. We always feel like 2016, get the most impact players, quarterback's a luxury item. Would they even think about a quarterback before maybe taking a flyer on like the fifth round or something?
I mean, it depends, right? Like, I remember I was on with you guys back in, like, January, mm-hmm. I think it was, when we did our scenario of the offseason, and I took Bo Nix in the third round, and I took Bo Nix in the third round because Bo Nix was there. And if Bo Nix is there, I'm just using this as an example, right? Mm-hmm. If a player like Bo Nix is somehow falls, or Michael Penix falls, and he's there on day two, or a little bit later on day two even, at some point that value becomes pretty high. And the value outweighs maybe the fact that you have Kirk Cousins and you have Taylor Heineke for one more year at least. And, you know, at some point that value maybe overtakes the, you know, is this guy going to play or not? And you kind of go from there. So I think at some point, you know, they've made it pretty clear. At some point they're going to add a third quarterback. Now, whether that's an undrafted free agent, whether that's a late-round guy, whether that's a mid-round guy, that I can't tell you. And I think a lot of that's going to be determined by how boards fall next week and, you know, what they're seeing and who they might like and who they might think fits their system long-term behind Kirk Cousins and Taylor Heineke.
Man, we wish you nothing but the best. Hopefully we'll get a chance. If you stay in Atlanta, we'll see you around. But I know you're going to crush the new gig, and looking forward to your investigative stuff. Have fun with that, Michael, and thanks for everything that you've done for us, and great job in covering the Falcons, man.
Oh, you guys are going to make me get all emotional. No, seriously, thank you guys for – it's been a blast to come on every week, and thank you guys for giving me the platform and for talking to me. And followed my replacement, his name is Mark Ramondi.
He's great.
He covered MMA for us for years, one of the best MMA reporters out there. He's moved to Atlanta. I had lunch with him, or breakfast, whatever, with him this morning. Give him a follow at Mark Ramondi, and treat him well. And again, thank you guys for everything, and thank everybody in Atlanta.
Appreciate you, man. Like Carl said, I always love the perspective, man. Great stuff. Good luck.
All right, Michael. We'll talk soon. Yep. We're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into. The transfer portal is open. Who's coming? Who's going? Ooh. We'll get into that.
Rumors about a Bama player maybe hitting the road.
Oh, interesting. And also, why did the quarterbacks get a lower grade than what some expected from the G-Day game? We'll get into it coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.